Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Faith Focus Weekly Discipleship Podcast. My name is Kevin Rognes, and I'm the Discipleship Director here at Faith Covenant Church. I'm very grateful that you would take the time out of your day to watch this on YouTube or listen on any of the major podcasting platforms. So thank you so much. I encourage you to subscribe to this if you haven't already to make sure that you don't miss any of the content. And it'd be really helpful if you left us a review just to let us know how we're doing. My email address is going to be listed in the comments area of the episode. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, please let me know. I would love to hear from you, especially if you have ideas of things that you want us to cover on the podcast. I would love to hear that feedback. So just let me know if you ever have any ideas of what you would like to be seeing here. So today, I'm going to be talking about something that I think is really important for everyone, and that's the idea of stability or commitment. You can kind of use those words interchangeably, at least in this conversation. It's not going to necessarily be commitment in terms of romance or marriage, although that is also important. I'm going to be addressing this on a more broad level. Simply put, we're seeing an interesting trend in our society and in our culture today where people are increasingly, it seems, averse to commitment or to stability, depending on which term that you want to use. There's been a lot of talk in the last several decades about how divorce rates have really gotten really high. I've seen some research that has suggested that divorce rates are maybe kind of leveling off or going down, and that's great if divorce rates are going down. What we're also seeing, however, is dropping marriage rates. People are just less likely today to get married. They're less likely to make that commitment and to have that kind of stability in their romantic relationships. We also see a lot less people spending less time in particular jobs. It's pretty common for people in my generation to kind of hop from job to job to get that next advancement. It's a lot rarer to see, like what we saw in previous generations, people staying in the same job or in the same company for several decades. That's not necessarily a bad thing to move jobs on a regular basis. It's just a note, it's just another way of observing that we don't necessarily see commitment in that area or stability in that area. We also see a lot of organizations like the Rotary noting less membership and less participation in their organizations. We have a society that's a lot more mobile. People are more likely to move across the country or even to other countries than ever before. And again, that's not necessarily inherently a bad thing. It's just something that we ought to take note of because it's something that's frequently happening in our culture and in our society. We also see this in the church world. Church attendance has gone way down, and a lot of people find themselves attending a lot of churches and just church hopping and not necessarily making a commitment to any particular local church. They just kind of go from church to church without really putting down roots in any given location. So all of these things are kind of contributing to a trend that a lot of social scientists have noted. Teachers have noted it. Pastors have noted it. A lot of people are noticing that our society is less and less inclined towards stability and commitment. And like I said, it's not always a bad thing to move locations, to change jobs. Sometimes God does indeed call us to transitions at different points in our lives. That certainly happened for me, and I know it's happened for many of you as well. However, it's just something that we need to be taking note of and considering stability and the value of stability more than we do. I was really struck by this pretty recently while reading a book. It's called Pursuing God's Will Together by Ruth Haley Barton. It's a really excellent book. A lot of the leadership team here at Faith Covenant Church is going through this book right now. It's a book that's primarily targeted towards organizations or church boards that are leading churches. It's kind of a discernment, well, the subtitle is a discernment practice for leadership groups. So it's a way for leadership groups to practice spiritual discernment together. However, there was a lot of really excellent content in here about personal formation as well. It's very important for people to experience good personal formation before they are participating in leadership groups. So I highly recommend this book for anybody who's interested in Christian leadership in any capacity. It's extremely helpful. But today I'm going to focus on one of the pieces of the personal formation aspects, and she had a couple of interesting things to say about stability. So the first thing I'm going to look at is a quote that the writer, Ruth Haley Barton, actually found from someone else, and they were, this other person was actually writing about monastic orders, or monks. That's not something that Protestants, like many of us are, often look to, but the monastic traditions have so much wisdom that have been passed down from generation to generation. And here in this passage that I'm about to read, we hear from some people who are writing from the monastic perspective and monastic traditions about stability and what that and how that is important. So that person writes, "If we say to ourselves that we will stay committed as long as commitment stays exciting and devoid of suffering, we are not fully committed. The grass is not greener over there. One must work out one's problems with this person, because if one doesn't, one will have to work out problems with that person. This is precisely what is so freeing about the vow of stability. To have to work it out is to demand growth, as painful as it is, and that is freeing. Faithfulness is a limit that forces us to stop running and encounter God, self, and other right now, right here." Oh, there's so much wisdom in that. Now, keep in mind that when this particular writer that Ruth Haley Barton is quoting talks about the vow of stability, they're talking about a specific monastic tradition of taking a vow to say, I'm going to stay here at this particular place. Still, it very much applies to just the broader concept of stability or commitment to any of us in any of our communities, whether it's our church community, our families. There's so much richness in here. So to go back, there's just that reminder of, if we say that we're committed only as long as it's easy or fun, we're not really committed, are we? And the grass is not always greener on the other side, as we have often heard in a lot of different contexts. But one of the things that first struck me is the idea that if you're being driven out of a particular place or organization or church by a conflict with a particular person, well, guess what? In whatever context you go to next, you're going to have conflict with another person. If you just run from every conflict that you could possibly have with any person, you're not going to learn how to resolve those conflicts, and you're not going to grow as a result. When you stay in a particular context where you have a conflict with a person, you're going to have to learn to work it out, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing to learn those skills. Likewise, they continue to talk about how faithfulness is a limit that forces us to stop running. And that is something that's very freeing. If we're constantly running away from conflicts or running away from certain circumstances that are not to our personal preferences, we're never going to grow. We're not going to be free. We're going to be enslaved to our own personal preferences, and we're just going to go chasing after the thing that we think we need or that we think we want, but we're not necessarily going to really be growing. So I just thought that there is so much wisdom in that idea, that there is freedom in learning to stay in a place, even if it's difficult, even if it's complicated. It's more free to stay in that and grow from it than it is just to run to the next context where you might run into the same problems eventually anyway. That is part of why we are called the body of Christ. We are to be united. A person's body doesn't just get to exist in two different portions. I'm a runner, I'm training for marathons, and there are times where my knees or my feet are not feeling the way that I would like to feel. I don't get the opportunity to just detach my foot and let it rest on its own. I have to learn how to be at peace with my foot. I have to learn the things that will properly stretch my foot, that will give rest to my foot. I have to learn how to work with it. And because I'm learning those things, I'm growing. Maybe not in terms of height. That ship has passed, or that ship has sailed. But I'm learning how to take care of my body and to give it better rest and to help it be stronger so that I'm better equipped for the longer runs that I'm going on. So once you learn how to be a part of the body, that is a growing thing and that is a freeing thing. Stability and commitment helps us to foster growth. Now, I really appreciate another thing that she points out here where Ruth Haley Barton says that stability is a powerful invitation to transformation, to creativity, to long-term impact. So when you stay in the same context, when you have stability and commitment to a local community, to a local church, perhaps it's to a school board or something like that, there's a lot of opportunity in that. There's so much invitation. There's the opportunity to experience transformation. You gradually become the person that God wants you to be as you grow into these roles, as you learn how to navigate conflict and grow stronger. There's an invitation to creativity. When you're in a situation and you're not sure how to get along with these people or not sure how to make things change for the better, that invites creativity. You have to be creative to think through solutions about how to work through a problem, how to work through an interpersonal conflict, and long-term impact. If you're just moving from short-term situation to short-term situation, you don't necessarily get to build that long-term impact or to be impacted in the long term by other people. Sometimes in discipleship, it's a matter of putting in time with the same people over and over again, and that is how transformation happens over the long run. It takes stability and commitment. Later on, Ruth Haley Barton quotes someone named Brian Taylor, and I'm not sure who Brian Taylor is, but he wrote some really wise words, so I'm going to read another block of text from that. That's, I think, so helpful. It is the failure to commit oneself entirely that blocks creativity in the spiritual life, in the artistic life, in the relational life. Meeting one's obligations with a minimum of commitment may seem like freedom, but it enslaves us to what is fleeting. I'm going to pause there and just dissect that a little bit. If you're not committed to a place, if you're not entirely committed, that hinders you so much because if you're just barely putting in the minimal effort, that may seem like it frees you up to do anything else, but really it's just enslaving you to what is fleeting. I love that quote, enslaves you to what is fleeting, what is temporary, what is short-term. If you're constantly chasing these short-term things, you're not really free. Freedom is really found in stability and commitment. I'm going to continue on reading from the same portion. In the instability of our age, we are constantly reassessing the self, our direction and purpose, our commitments and values. Without the constancy of stability, this assessment can create chaos. Ultimately, the vow of stability is a vow of stability to God. God is the only true eternal rock upon which we can stand. but God calls us into a particular life, to be spent in the company of particular people, to accept one's life as it is given, to begin to find freedom. Oh, I just love that. There's so much wisdom in that. This idea that God is the true eternal rock. That's what we stand on. God is truly stable for us. But God calls us to be that stability for other people. We are called to be in the company of particular people. And that requires stability and commitment. We have to learn how to work together and how to work through challenges and conflicts in order to experience growth and in order to experience all the wonderful things that God has for us. So God, I think, is just such a... If we're trying to always emulate God, we have to keep in mind that God is the absolute image of stability and commitment. God is committed to us. Jesus tells a parable about building upon a sure foundation, and God is that sure foundation. If God were constantly running around and switching churches on us or moving locations on us, who would we be as a people? We need to be rooted in the same kind of stability that God is rooted in. And I would also say that if you're rooted and stable and committed to a particular community or church, you're also more likely to discover more of who you are. You're more likely to discern what your gifts are, what your talents are, and you're going to have more opportunities if you're in one place for a longer term to really engage what your gifts are. Sometimes it's hard to really know, what am I good at? What are my spiritual gifts? Well, if you spend time serving long enough in a particular context, you'll start to learn what those are, and you'll get even better at exercising those gifts for the glory of God's kingdom. If you're constantly shifting environments, now that's going to be a little bit different. You're going to be constantly having to adapt to a new context. There is value, certainly, in learning to adapt, and sometimes we truly don't have a choice in continually shifting our contexts and our environments. I think in particular of families that have a member that is in the military. They're not by their choice, they're frequently moving, and that is a calling in and of itself. Adaptation can be a valuable skill. But try to still, even in those circumstances, try to find some things that are stable, because it's instability and in commitment that you learn how to grow and develop yourself as the person that God wants you to be. Stability is just so, so important for the growth and the freedom that God wants for you. So I want you to consider some things in these terms, because you may be having questions about, should I stay in this context any longer? Do I remain committed here? Do I remain stable? Really try to see where God is leading you. Don't necessarily look at what's easiest, what's maybe the most convenient, what is the path of least resistance. Those are not necessarily where God's leading is. Really spend time in prayer to say, is God leading me to a new context, or is God asking me to stay here to help me grow, or perhaps to help others grow? We have to always remember that people are always looking at us and learning from us. So consider what God has for you in a particular situation as you make those discernment and make those choices. So that is just something that's been on my heart after reading this book. Once again, the book is called Pursuing God's Will Together by Ruth Haley Barton. Cannot recommend it enough. If you're in church leadership or organizational leadership, I think it's a really great tool that can help you follow God together better as an organization. And like I said earlier, too, there's a big part of the book that's about personal formation that I think is really helpful on its own before you even get to the leading in groups pieces of things. So there might be more episodes about there that are derived from this book as we go on. So we'll see how it goes. So I strongly recommend that book. The leadership team is going through it, and I think it's going to be really helpful as our church moves forward in discerning things together. So that is all that I wanted to cover today. Thank you so much for watching or for listening. I am very grateful for your participation in this. And like I said before, please leave me a note if there's something that we can do for you. Thank you, and I hope you have a wonderful and blessed day.